Friday night we'll be doing communion again, and Sunday again, because I know the area he wants to cool that. Equas. Ekrendola kusuri match. Bianako. Dundi kus kia to the lakwaha. For all those things, they're not to leave undone. This is high, high among them. And that is to season your hearts with love and forgiveness, and learn to walk with mercy towards them that are without, and grace towards them that are within. Let your hearts be seasoned with love, and walk in forgiveness towards each other, that I may do among you what I have scheduled to be done, saith the Lord. Itima saya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. How many of you believe that person next to you is wealth? Is worth the wealth? The wealth. How many knows God's willing to expend the wealth of the world to see your soul saved? Do you feel special? Huh? You don't have to beg for it either. Hallelujah. Well, there's something about walking in love that's stronger than we understand. I do understand that when you and I were lost and undone, other side of spiritual death, he sent Jesus across that void. I do understand they had no guarantee that we'd accept the blood and be saved, but he sent him anyway. It's hard for me to understand the love he had for me when I was yet lost out. But he called it mercy that caused him to die, and then grace that took me into his family as though nothing ever happened. And so I'm understanding that some. But I do understand the hatred, the ability to hurt a believer is a violation of that very grace that you were born again by. And that's why God is so hard on it. You didn't deserve anything, and he died for you. And then to turn around, as he said, and choke a man for $20, God just isn't too happy about it. Well, now we're understanding more and more about that love. As he told the young lawyer, the second commandment's likened to the first, to love your neighbor as yourself. And the first one is to love God. So the same love you love God with, you love your neighbor with. You say, I love God and don't love my neighbor. It's impossible, because same love that loves your neighbor, it loves God. So that kind of love just reaches out and it loves. You say, well, I'm directing it. You can't direct it, because it encompasses people you didn't direct it to. Or it's not God's love. Well, I just love him a whole lot more than people. You got religion. You have religion, a healthy dose of religion. I should say an unhealthy dose. It'll divide you. It puts you out on a limb, make you right, and everybody else wrong, and you'll hurt them to prove it. Well, it's a little disappointing to me to find out through the love God's developed in me as we love one another. And I thought if we could leave them out of the equation, you and I could get along a whole lot better. But then again, I was one of them. So I'm glad he didn't leave me out of the equation. So I just want to develop God's love and his power with it, not without letting the part of that love develop that loves people too. Well, I'd just like to have the mighty gifts of the Spirit and just forget, just come out there and do it and then run back. I don't. Well, what you really want is the exaltation and the glory of being used without having to live next to the baser side. of people. Hallelujah. But somebody asked me, well, if a milk is somebody on milk that divides himself against people, then what's meat? I mean, what is being on meat? What is it?
Well, I know a whole lot of words and I'm on meat.
You can memorize the whole Bible and be on milk.
Well, I can tell you.
No, you can't. Now notice what he classifies milk here. See, it says, and I, brethren, 3:1, 1 Corinthians, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. He just got through teaching that the natural man received not the things that be of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them because they're discerned and understood by your new nature. And he says, I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual, that is somebody who is discerning with their new nature, but as unto carnal, even as babies in Christ. I've fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto or up to this point, you were not able to bear it, that is meat. Neither yet now are you able. And I can remember several years ago at the end of that second verse when the Holy Ghost shot through me and said, you do understand that this whole first book of Corinthians is to people on milk. I said, how so? He said, because they couldn't bear meat. So if they couldn't bear meat, I couldn't give it to them. So I gave them milk. So this whole book's on milk. Well, that's okay, except it gets pretty heavy. You know, people that really dig into the Word of God, preach the depths of 1 Corinthians 13. And how about the judgment verse, the 5th chapter, where he turned a man over, destruction of his flesh, so he wouldn't leaven the whole church. You know, this is all milk. Milk. Well, I'd kind of like to know what classifies a guy being on milk, because, you know, I myself am an astounding teacher. I know the Word of God and I have... Yes, are you on meat or on milk? I know people that hold the limelight in the teaching ministry and they are on milk.
Well, how do you know that?
Because they've divided themselves against other people on milk.
How do you know?
Well, he said so. He says, for you are yet carnal. Third verse. For whereas there is among you envying and strife. No. No. Envying and strife. No. And divisions? No. No. Thank God we're on meat. He's certainly not talking to none of us. After all, we have the revelation. Are you not carnal? For where there's among you envy and strife and division, are you not carnal and walk as men? What he's talking about? You walk as mere men according to the carnal appetites of the flesh and appear to those that are within and without as of not even being born again. You walk as mere men. Well, of course, he classified what milk is. Well, I can quote the whole New Testament. Doesn't make any difference to me. You might use that to divide yourself against somebody else.
Well, I can quote it.
Well, I don't like cults and things like that. I don't even like false doctrine. I don't like leaving part of the gospel out. But if somebody's born again, they are my brother and they are going to hold a place. Hallelujah. Well, so this is what it is to be on milk. Envying, strife, and divisions.
Well, I do some of that, but I'm not on milk.
Of course you're not. Of course you're not. But let's go ahead then. If envy and strife and division is a person that's on milk, then what would you be looking for in the growth of a person? Now, what would you really be looking for? The astounding knowledge in the Word? The ability to quote? How much they know? Perhaps the power they walk in to a certain degree. A lot of people use the power of God to the detriment of the kingdom of God to confirm things that they're doing. That's called merchandising the anointing. He trusts you with the precious pearl or a treasure, and what do? Immediately convert it to the flesh. But I can tell you, ministries that do that do not last the duration of their call. But thank God, you know, people like Lester Summerall and Kenneth Hagin were 30 years putting their root system in. And then after they put their root system in, they went ahead and a tree grew out of it that affected the whole world. You see, neither one of those would fall into those other areas. Thank goodness. Thank goodness. But, I mean, what is longevity? What are we looking for? If people used in power, they're cut off all the time. Come in under judgment. All the time. Ministries cut short. Falling to this. Falling to that. Falling to different aspects of the flesh. Promiscuousness. Adultery. All kinds of things. When he said the love of money is the root of all evil, of course he didn't say money itself, but the love of it. The love of money is the root of all evil. He wasn't talking about just everything springing from the money itself. It meant if you're so weak that the love of money is your motivating, it's your motivation, if you're so weak, then you'll also have other things wrong. You'll have things equally. You're willing to do anything or hurt people for money, both in ministry, business, anything else. And if you've got that root, then you're undoubtedly weak enough many, many times in the appetites of the flesh department and promiscuous areas. You see people falling all the time. Well, I'm looking for maturity. What am I really looking for? What am I really looking for? Let's go to the 12th chapter. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12. Let's just start with the first verse for a moment. Now concerning spiritual gifts. And remember, this is all milk now. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I'd not have you ignorant. Well, that's good, because if there's any area that I don't want to be ignorant in, it is the operation of his spiritual gifts. He said, you know that you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb, unspeaking idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man, that now you're serving the living God, he has a voice, he's not a dumb idol. That no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now when he said concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I'd not have you ignorant. There's 9 gifts of the Spirit that empower 8 operations of God. Not only do these 9 gifts empower these 8 operations, but they qualify the 8 operations for what they are. And he listed them. He listed them beginning with the 27th verse. He said, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now, as much as you can, I want you to remember this lineup, what we're about to say to you. He says, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular, that I am an individual member in a vast body called the body of Christ, as he says in Romans 12 and Ephesians 4. I am an individual member. He says, and God has set some in the church, and then he gives them in the order they come into existence in divine order. He said, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles and gifts of healings, which encompassed pastor and evangelist. entry to fivefold was on the level of miracles and healings. Mostly the traveling guy did miracles. The stationary guy had the gifts of healings. But entry level to fivefold. That's why he left pastor and evangelist out. Well, he didn't leave them out in Ephesians 4, but he did here. And replaced them with the qualification of those two calls. Well, I'm a pastor. I'm not called to operate in miracles. Beg your pardon. Beg your pardon. You're called to operate in healing and miracles. In fact, that's just entry level to fivefold. And notice, he says, thirdly, teachers, and then after that, miracles and gifts of healings, and finally, the sixth and seventh operation, helps in governments. And finally, the eighth operation, the diversities of tongues. Now, the nine gifts of the Spirit qualifies you for whatever operation of these eight you fulfill, such as, how could you fill the operation, the calling of diverse tongues without speaking with tongues? The mighty apostle has all these offices working in him, all of them. He can establish and he operates every single one of them. Well, now notice what he goes on to say here after he lists the diversities of tongues. In 29 he says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Certainly not. Certainly not all apostles or all prophets. Are all teachers? Of course not. Are all workers of miracles? Definitely not. Well, have all gifts of healings? No. Do all speak with tongues? Yes. Have all gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? I did a boy's friend's wedding one time, and the grandma was grilling me. She wanted to know what kind of preacher I was. I was just doing it to be nice anyway. I didn't want to. You know, and so she said, what kind of preacher are you? And I said, well, let me see. I'm a charismatic. How's that? Oh, like who can you identify with? I says, well, have you heard of Kenneth Hagin?
No.
I said, how about Oral Roberts? Yes, I said, I'm kind of like that. She goes, oh, you speak with tongues. I said, yes, I do. She says, well, to each their own. He says, are all apostles? Then he said, are all teachers? Are all prophets? Do all speak with tongues? He says, no, not all. I'm not called. I said, oh, yes, you are. He said, there's four diversities of tongues. The one he was talking about here was in ministry to the body. That's why he said, do all speak with tongues and do all interpret. Not everybody speaks in a tongue to be interpreted, but I said everybody speaks in a tongue for personal edification. Well, I didn't mind that she was choking a little bit. I said, I'm perfectly content to wait till you get to heaven to find out. Hallelujah. Well, he said here, do all speak with tongues? Yes. All interpret? No. He said, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and I'll show you a more excellent way.
What's the best gifts?
It's the ones that qualify your calling. Why would you want other ones? By this time, you should know what you're called. You're called to evangelize. You're called to a full-blown operation of the workings of miracles. It's yours. And several other giftings that go with it.
Well, I thought Benny Hinn was a special vessel.
So are you. So are you. I remember Benny Hinn was on a program with a nun. And he said something about miracles and he's testifying to miracles. And after a while, she just had to get in on it and she reaches over and says,
but Benny, you're a special vessel.
Like, you know, wouldn't I'm called to be what I am, but you're a sovereign vessel. You're special. What a good way to let yourself out of it.
Don't you think? Hallelujah. Well, Benny, he just reached over just as kind as he could. He said, "Sister, you can have this. You can have this. You don't give your life like they do and then say, you can have this. You can have this." He said, "Covet earnestly the best gifts." You know, in each facet that he has brought me to and the understanding of each call, I've coveted the gifts that's gone with it. See, and I know how to do that too. My God, I know how to covet his best gifts. I know how to fast and pray and beat the devil to pieces and stand my ground. I know how to do that. That's why when he said, "Yet I show you more an excellent way," a more excellent way to do what? A more excellent way to covet. To covet the best gifts. And if there's a more excellent way than fasting and praying and walking the floor and backing the devil off and holding my ground, covet earnestly. Covet is this strong. It's strong. In fact, it was so strong in the Ten Commandments. He used it as a thou shall not. So you reverse it, thou shall not covet. Then on the positive side, covet earnestly the best gifts. You know how strong that has to be. Like a man going without eating. What do you want? You want food. Food. Looks better than new cars and everything. After 40 days or so, hamburgers dance through your head, not Lexuses. He said, "Covet earnestly the best gifts, yet I show you a more excellent way to do what? A more excellent way to covet." Now, there wasn't supposed to be a 13th chapter. There's supposed to be a long 12. In other words, he did not change subjects. "I show you a more excellent way. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity," love in action, "I become a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal." In other words, if I go after the love of God with the same tenacity that I was going after the gifts that can carry some sort of exhortation along with them too, you know. "Look at me. Hallelujah. He uses me." The more excellent way. He said, "Covet earnestly the best gifts." Just as hard as you can go after something. In fact, he had a commandment against coveting your neighbors. So you must go after them pretty hard. "Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife." You know how strong that is. Sneaky stuff. You know. Jeopardizing your whole family and life and everything. For what? For what? For what? You know how strong coveting is. He said, "Covet earnestly the best gift." Yet he has a more excellent way than that. Yes. If I make my mind up to go after the love of God with the same audacity and tenacity that I wanted to go after the giftings. And that is the more excellent way. It's a lot easier to skip past picking up cigarette butts in the parking lot and just head for the pulpit. Wouldn't you think? God forbid that I would do something. "Though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not this love in action, I'm a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal." Now don't mistake this verse for those who preach on it and say, "You can pray in tongues all you want if you don't have love." If you don't have love, you're sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Well, what he was saying is you can have divers tongues and the capacity to pray and speak with tongues and still be a divider, a hater, and an envious person who causes a lot of trouble. But what he didn't say
is the man that established himself consistently in the strong prayer life of edification. And you couldn't stay sounding brass and tinkling cymbal, because he'd purge the old brass out of you and give you gold. Hallelujah. So I'll show you a more excellent way. You want to cut your time short. You want to cut it short. You want to go past all the natural avenues and seek the love of God with the same tenacity, even when it hurts. That's why God was able to come with judgment here a while back, because we had satisfied Him in how far we extended mercy. See, this love was the hardest thing to die to the world of. Sometimes people got so mad at me, and there's still people who's left the church because they were real mad because we extended love beyond what they thought was necessary. I said, well, can't help it if you're going to leave me for doing that. No. Have a happy journey. One man just called me recently. All I've ever done was helped him. Helped train him in the early days and helped meetings and took time and extended myself. Did lots of things. When he began to make it in the ministry, he fell into those who was talking about us all the time. Started running me down. And finally it began to eat at him and he called me up. He said, well, they started talking about your family and all that. And I said, what am I guilty for? Which action I extended towards you? Which time when we went out of our way to get you and help you in ministry? What am I guilty of? And he was real quiet. And I said, if you're going to charge me for believing like a crazy man for my family, then charge me. My conscience is clean. He said, I'm sorry. Well, I said, that's okay. I says, I got out of that mess a long time ago. I just felt sorry for you. There is a more excellent way, and the dying process is hard. It's hard. The choice not to defend myself so many times seemed like it was stripping me of my manhood until God came. Do you understand? We're never going to stop. Our roots are getting fat. Wait till you see the tree. We're never going to stop. When I go home, fat, fat fruit hanging off of fat, fat limbs. You're going to hang in right there with just fat limbs. Fat limbs, fat, whatever you do for God, it's going to be fat. It's going to be fat. Fat. Overweight. Large. Grande. He shook it. I said, we're never going to go away. We're never going to quit. We're never going to quit pushing the devil around. My body feels better. My mind feels better. I feel better than I did in my 20s. My 30s. Come on. When does this just stop? I'm going to finish my course full of wisdom and power. And our packages and teachings is going to launch preachers, if he tarries 100 years, wherever it finds them. We're a devastating mountain moving machine going somewhere to flourish, and nobody or nothing can stop us. Sure, it was hard dying. Every time I had to choose to keep my mouth shut, let them rant and rave and leave in a flurry. And each time there's a death process when you choose and do the right thing. Okay. So I'm supposed to go after things like that with the love of God, the same tenacity that I would have went after anything God has that could glorify me. But I love the love of God. I'm loving it more and more because I have found that it isn't until you get to a certain place in His love that you'll even walk in peace. If you have a capacity to hurt somebody, peace is a little ways from you. You'll just admire people's speeches on peace. The thing that hurts people will keep you from the peace. He said, I leave, not as the world gives. Especially your own family. The love of God can't pour through your family and then to the world. You'll find it won't flow through the world and then to your family. Your family's not supposed to be the catch-all for your bad day. Hallelujah. Now, you can kind of remember this line up here, can't you? First apostle, prophet, teacher, working as a miracles, gifts of healing, 6 and 7, helps in governments. And what's the 8th? You can kind of remember that line up, can't you? Because we're trying to find out who it is that's on meat. Well, now we know that it is somebody that covets the things of God with the tenacity of love. And we're finding out that there's no place for envy, strife, and division in that. This guy just won't do it. You can live in it all you want. He's just not going to be part of it. Don't you just hate it? And you walk up to somebody and you want to gossip and they say, I don't want to hear it. It's an indictment against your spirituality. Well, go to Ephesians 4 and let's look at this meat. Just a little bit more depth. Go to Ephesians 4. And we'll begin with the 7th verse, which again says the same thing as Romans 12 and the same thing as 1 Corinthians 12. Paul spoke in Romans 12. He said, we have grace differings, different grace, different callings differing, grace differing according to the grace that's been given to us. So you can understand this then in 7 when he says, for every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. The grace he's talking about there is your calling. We have grace, or we have callings or gifts differing according to the grace that God give us. So you ought not think of yourself more highly than you ought think soberly. So as Paul said, I speak according to the grace given to me. You ought not think of yourself more highly. In other words, you didn't call yourself, you didn't place yourself. So why should you think of yourself more highly? Did you give yourself an apostolic call, a prophet, a pastor's, a government, a help? Did you call yourself? No. Who chose it? God did. That's why he says in 7, but to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, or the measure he's asked us to fill in the body of Christ. Hand, foot, leg, eye, whatever your calling is. Well, he goes on to say in the 8th verse, wherefore, or because of this, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave these gifts to men. Then he wanted you to know this. Now he that ascended, now that he ascended, what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. In other words, he suffered death and went to the lower. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights, so must the Son of Man be in the center of the earth. He said he descended first in the lower parts of the earth. That's another story. But he did so to lead captivity captive and equip you with these gifts by grace. You didn't pay for them. You didn't earn them. You received them in the measure you're called. Hand, foot, eye, apostle, prophet, teacher. And believe me when he said you're called to fill your measure. That the gift of faith, the measure of faith was to fulfill your calling, not mine. That's why you get judged for it. He gave you first the grace for your call, then the measure of faith to fill it.
Well, I fell short.
But he gave it to you anyway.
Why?
He still gave it to you.
But
it was yours.
I have a reason.
Won't stand up. Now the 10th verse said again, he that descended is the same also that descended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some, now here comes this lineup again, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and some teachers. Now notice here he listed all five. 1 Corinthians 12, he said, apostle, prophet, teacher, workings of miracles, gifts of healings. So entry level to fivefold was with pastor and evangelist. You either stand still and teach, or you travel and teach. But you're supposed to be equipped at entry level, gifts of healings, workings of miracles. So look at this verse very, very closely. He gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. How many remembers this in the book? Now let's dissect this one. I was doing a camp meeting overseas, and I was sitting next to a teacher, a strong teacher in the body. And I had made mention that entry level to fivefold was workings and miracles and gifts of healings, which replaced pastor and evangelist. And he said, well, I believe. Well, maybe he didn't sound quite that wimpy. He said, well, I believe that the pastor gift is part of governments. It's part of government. And I said, no, it's part of the fivefold. I mean, it's entry level was miracles and healings. He says, no, he believed that the miracles and healings empowered prophet, apostle, teacher. And I said, no, it's pastor and evangelist. He said, no, it's part of the government, because it says then in helps in government. I said, no, I can show you, because I've assimilated both chapters, 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4. So, of course, he was waiting for me to disprove. It had never been done before. But I don't care. We've already upset a lot of people's apple carts. Why stop now? If stopping and conforming to something means to stop my journey, no, thank you. No. Oh, no. I found out that people make bad mistakes. I check everything anybody teaches me against the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry. I don't have time to take your journey if you're not taking the right one. You can get dangerously close to that, can't you? Hallelujah, dangerously close. Ben Shaki, I said, look here. Now read this very closely in Ephesians, I said. He gave gifts unto men, the first apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, or evangelists and pastors, for the perfecting of the saints, because these ministries nurture and handle the word. Then he said, for the work of the ministry. And then he separated again and said, for the edification of the saints. So this is how they all taught that in their government books. They said the fivefold is gifts given to the body of Christ for their perfecting. We're a gift given for your perfecting, for the work of the ministry. So we perfect you so you can do the work of the ministry to bring edification to the body of Christ. So we've exalted ourselves as those great gifts. I've had Rolls Royces next door to me, just in case I wanted ice cream at 4 in the morning. Hello? Ice cream. They have to go to get it, because I'm the gift. You're not, I am. I'm a gift. for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, to bring edification to the body of Christ. I'm a gift. And now the gift, now I got that quote, they don't do it so much now, but I had that quoted so many times when I walk out in the camp meeting. God has placed some in the body. Would you receive this precious gift God has given to us? And you walk out, yay, 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 yay. And then for the exit was fun. You had something like the Rams football team to block the little ladies that were trying to get through the lines to get prayer. Tackle that one. Stop that. That one's getting through. Stop her. You know? But let me tell you what it's saying when you assimilate and pull these two chapters together. So here I was sitting by him, and I pulled the two chapters together. When I left him, he was staring at it real hard. So I moved. Bring the two together, this is what he says. Now 1 Corinthians 12 said, apostle, prophet, teacher, working some miracles, gifts of healings, helps in governments, the diversities of tongues. Ephesians 4 says, apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, pastor, for the perfecting of the saints, helps in governments, for the work of the ministry, eighth operation, diverse tongues, for the edification of the saints. In other words, he ascended on high, and God gave gifts to men, so he come back to the body, and he had a handful of gifts, and he threw them out into the body, and bunches of people stood up all over the place and said, I'm called a prophet. I'm an apostle. I'm called a teacher. I'm called a pastor. Well, I'm called to be an evangelist. And they received these gifts, began to fulfill them in the body. So then God stopped for the sake of teaching. He went back to heaven a second time. He went back and got another handful of gifts. And he come back and threw them in the body, and people started standing up all over and saying, hey, I've been called in helps in governments for the work of the ministry. Helps in governments stood up all over for the work of the ministry. Then he went back to heaven a third time and grabbed a handful of gifts in diverse tongues and brought them back down, threw them in the body, and everybody stood up and said, I'm praying, I received the edification gift. And then bunches stood up and said, I'm called to interpretation and intercession, and I'm called to travel the world and preach in other languages as he moves on me supernaturally. But diverse tongues was given for the edification of the saints, helps and governments for the work of the ministry, and fivefold for the perfecting of the saints. I want you to know the seat next to me was quiet. Just killed 100 books. Hallelujah. Well, he gave these giftings to the body for what purpose? For what purpose? Who would be somebody on meat? Well, somebody that doesn't divide. Somebody that doesn't envy. You don't walk in division and strife and envy. Now see, he gave these gifts. Now watch closely. In the 14th verse, after he gave them, till we come in on the 12th verse, for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. How long? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is, each measure fulfilling itself until the head. It's full in stature, stands up full stature, connected to the head. The fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from which the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. He was talking about the whole part of the body represented between the two joints. So the arm, the hand, the leg. What did he say? From whom the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every call or part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. That last part, given for the edification of the saints, to the edifying of itself in love. Well, in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, he said, who's on milk? Divided, carnal, envious. Who's on meat? Those that increase in their calling into a unity of the body under obedience to the head, totally given increase by the edifying of itself and by every measure in that love. And that, my friend, is meat. That is meat. Friday night, we're going to get another tremendous opportunity to judge ourselves. Pray these next few days, let Him search our hearts. The more excellent way is to begin to covet love, forgiveness, peace. The same tenacity you'd like to be used in the power to raise the dead. Remember, you fight. If you, somebody is fighting you and you just want to put their lights out, and you decide for love, you start right then stripping of its power to dominate you. And what you're really fighting for is a high level operation of your measure and calling. Well, I thought I was fighting to forgive him. Mm-mm. You're fighting for the increase of that measure of your part in the body of Christ to come to the fullness of its calling and to be obedient to the head by which every part is compacted and operates. Well, I thought I was just fighting to forgive him. You're fighting to operate in the fullness of the measure of your call. Well, that makes it a little easier, doesn't it? Say, well, you're ugly. Yeah, but I'm filling a measure in the body. Yeah, but we don't like nothing about you. Oh, that's okay. He can make up for it. Hallelujah. I'm filling a measure in the body, edifying myself in love. I make a decision to love you. And then you know that little devil. You know how your mind sharpens up when you just got an answer. Somebody says something ugly, you can say 8 things right there. And your mind clears up. You're on the cutting edge of remarks. And one of them is wanting to jump out of your mouth. 8 more are waiting. Something about that anointing, it just clears your head and you get so sharp. Ooh. Hallelujah. Sometimes you get away with it a little bit when you're preaching, you know.
If you pray in 2 months, you'll get weird.
Mm-mm, already prayed too much, didn't get like you are. No, sir, what you're really fighting for, is for your measure to come to the fullness of the statutes of the operation of the head, which is Christ. That's what you're fighting for. Don't feel like it. But every decision doesn't feel like it. I can remember one of the last bad compromises I made was with the movie stars. well, I'm wording this wrong with his wife, but it wasn't that. Well, it was a compromise in her person, who she was. My person operating. I'll just get to the main story here. Well, you know, there's a lot of mileage having a movie star's wife come. She's telling everybody wherever she went, including her husband, quite famous.
Yes, well, I go to church now.
Not only a lot of mileage, I was thinking of the tithes. Glory. Well, one day she wanted me to go pray for a racehorse they were racing. And she said, this is how she smoothed it over. You can pray for my husband. Because he was going to, you know, race the horse. So I started to say no. But something overpowered it. Visions of tithe checks. Exhortation. Dropping her name. Name dropping. Lost all of that. Said, will you go? I said, yes. Well, thank God for the weather. Because something happened or something and they couldn't race the horse. So I said, ha, ha, ha. I got out of it, ha, ha, ha. And he said, no, God said you did it. The man thinketh in his heart. He said, you did it. And I said, yes, you did. Yes. Well, I said, well, if I'd have told her no, she'd have left. He said to me, she's leaving anyway. She did. 2 weeks later. Adios. So she left. I said, you were right. She left. I told you, God, if I'd have said no, she'd have left. She said she left anyway. The difference is, son, if you'd have said no, yeah, she'd have left. No, I'm not going. I don't believe in it. I think if you took a stand, maybe your husband would get saved. But did I? No. Just fly off with her. Anyway, said, here's the difference. If she'd ever wanted help, she'd have came back. But as it is now, son, you're just a long list of preachers she's bought. Come on. Sometimes it's hard to say no. Glory to God. Can do it. He'll help you. He'll help you. Glory be to God forever. Jesus. Well, why don't we stand up and lift our hands? Just thank Him for the more excellent way. I speak with tongues of men and angels. All right, go on. Excellent way. Pursue, seek after. Let the agape escape your spirit with such a velocity and take that little soul of yours over and render it submitted. Hallelujah. Let Him reason things and see people in different lights. Come on. Let's let Him do this utmost important work on the inside of us. All last early service, I prophesied the difference in Mennonite communities who have to separate themselves from sinners to walk in the kind of love they see in the Word. But God wants you right out there with them walking in that kind of love. He'll take care of you. He promised He would. See. But most of them resorted to religion after a while and couldn't figure out how to walk in those verses. That there is a way. It's with God's strength. He holds you up. You can die before you die. That's where the martyrs come from. They didn't run. Hallelujah. Do you understand? He wants to work in our midst. And you can really turn him loose by forgiving everything. Really, really asking him to help you mortify it through the power of the Spirit. A pleasure. It's a pleasure walking into that peace. It's a pleasure fighting to fill my measure. My measure. It's a pleasure to increase it. The only real increase he really sees is the meat. It's the meat. By this will he know that you're my disciples.